The Kansas City, Missouri school district gets all of the press, but school districts all over the metro area deal with big challenges. That's why we're launching a new series to look at suburban schools. This week, Alex Smith has a story from the first school district in the state of Missouri, Hickman Mills. 2012 has been one of the district's toughest years ever.
If you walk around the Hickman Mills school district, it doesn't take long before you notice something a little unusual. Almost none of the streets have sidewalks. Few of them even have curbs, and behind many of the rows of houses here, there are still acres of undeveloped land. That's because, unlike most suburbs, Hickman Mills wasn't built as a suburb. It started out as a rural school district back in 1902. In its 110 years, Hickman Mills has seen waves of people come and go, but it's managed to hang on at least a little to its rural feel. Inside the buildings, however, the district is dealing with problems more typical of the inner city. The Hickman Mills district serves just about 6,200 students who live in the area between Swope Park and Grandview. Today, about 90% of those students are non-white. Hickman Mills has 8 grade schools, a middle school, a junior high, and a senior high school. This is a small district, but Hickman Mills faces a big list of problems. Board of Education President Bremen Anderson describes the problem at the top of the list.
When you have a district that is approximately 83% free and reduced lunch, it is an indicator that the children are coming from economically stressed households. You know, there's a direct correlation between being low income, being overwhelmingly free and reduced, and having issues with academics and the whole nine yards.
2012 has been an especially difficult year for Hickman Mills. In March, the district announced it would need to cut 47 teaching positions, and a few months later, longtime superintendent Marge Williams retired. But the biggest hit came on September 18th. Sarah Potter of the Missouri Department of Elementary and Secondary Education explains.
In September, the department recommended that Hickman Mills be changed from fully accredited to provisionally accredited. Now, that means that they are still accredited, but that they don't have that full accreditation. It's kind of they're on notice that they have a lot of improvement to be made, and I think the district knows that. And the State Board of Education agreed and voted to make them provisionally accredited in September.
But the Hickman Mills district hasn't always struggled. After World War II, the rural area started to become a suburb for Kansas City, Missouri, as employers like the IRS, Westinghouse, and Bendix drew families to the neighborhood. KU graduate student Aaron Reif, who's doing his doctoral dissertation on the district, says this was a golden era for Hickman Mills.
One of the largest problems they had was being able to keep up with the population. And is this time, the 1950s, the 60s, a little bit the 70s, but mostly 50s and 60s, there's this huge growth. They're constantly building new schools, especially elementary schools, to be able to keep up with all these children that are coming in. With all these families coming in, that's property tax. And the property tax is a large part of what funds local school districts. It's during this time, again, because they have to build these school buildings, they are passing levies. The mill levies are raising, and they're passing bonds, special actions to get schools built or to add on to schools. It's a great time. It is an absolutely great time for this district.
The Hickman Mills boom was more working and middle class than upper class. Moving here was more affordable than moving to Johnson County. But like Johnson County, the neighborhood was overwhelmingly white in the beginning, and it tried to stay that way through social pressure.
There is an argument that people were moving to this area to be homogenous, to get away from an ever-increasingly diverse group of people in Kansas City. To be fair, attractive housing prices were probably the most responsible for people moving into this area, but it was white.
The Hickman Mills neighborhood was almost entirely annexed by Kansas City, Missouri in 1961, but its school district was not. While it never received the national recognition of Shawnee Mission or Blue Valley, the Hickman Mills district was strong and stable all the way through the mid-90s. But Aaron Reif says a tipping point occurred in the mid-80s. He believes major changes in the district can be traced to some very specific changes in housing.
I posit that there's an event. In 1987, one of the major housing projects in Kansas City, Wayne Minor, was closed. There was more introduction of Section 8 housing into Ruskin Heights, into the Hickman Mills area. And so African-American families began to arrive in larger numbers in this school district. And to be specific, poorer African-American families. Before this, from the 60s through the 80s, a large portion of non-white families who moved into this area were middle class. So it is the 1990s that the change begins to happen. And really, to also be fair, it's not just the fact that black families are moving in. As black families move in, the trend tends to show that white families begin to move out. And that really cements, really, by the early 2000s. It's really only a decade ago that the shift goes from majority white to majority non-white.
As lower-income families moved in and middle-income families moved out, trouble for the school district was inevitable.
Part of the problem that happens in a community is when middle-class families move out, housing values tend to depreciate. And as if you just look at a neighborhood at a couple blocks, for example, the greater number of poor people living in an area and the fewer number of middle-class people living in an area, housing values depreciate. And if housing values depreciate, then property taxes depreciate, which means the school gets less funding.
Reif describes how one problem led to another in Hickman Mills during the 90s. Bannister Mall and nearby stores got a bad reputation and lost business to other shopping areas before finally shutting down. The school district had trouble attracting and keeping good teachers. And about 15 years ago, Hickman Mills started having some serious problems meeting state education standards, struggling mostly with annual MAP test scores. Missouri's annual progress reports for schools has 14 points, and in the past several years, Hickman Mills has only been earning about half of those.
If you look at the data from 2007 to about 2012, you'll see that it's sort of 666797. So they went up a little bit, but then they went back down. So it's not been a real steady progress upwards. They've kind of gone up and down for the last 7 years or so. And so that's what we were concerned about, is that they're not on a steady improvement line. Things keep going up and down. So that's really one of the factor in looking at their data and why we changed their accreditation status.
I have been in this position 14 days today. I am really honored that the board requested that I take this position on a part-time basis.
On a recent Thursday evening, about 150 parents, teachers, and students turned out in the junior high gym to hear the district's plans for moving forward. Among the speakers was new acting superintendent Barbara Tate. Shortly after the accreditation announcement, the Board of Education voted to replace the acting superintendent with Barbara Tate. Tate recently retired from the Grandview School District, where she'd worked as assistant superintendent. In Grandview, she earned a reputation as a strong leader for dealing with problems similar to those Hickman Mills is currently facing. Hickman Mills spokesperson John Bacala explains the new acting superintendent's role.
Right now, Mrs. Barbara Tate, who is the acting superintendent, is going through and evaluating all of our academic standards and procedures and trying to assess where it is that we need improvement. One of the things that she has determined we need to improve on is we need a better way to monitor academic progress. The systems we were using to monitor academic progress, in her mind, were not working. And pretty obviously they weren't, because we weren't getting an accurate understanding, obviously, of where our students were. And we've gone in and talked to teachers and gone in and talked to the principals and once again reinforced, you know, concepts of what we want done academically and what needs to be done academically and what our focus needs to be on and what the concentration of academic studies need to be on.
The Board of Education is currently searching for a permanent superintendent, and Barbara Tate will probably just stay in her new position for another semester or so. So the district is also working on its own plans to improve performance.
We've already gone out and hired new teachers, and we've hired some more academic instruction folks to come in and help our students just in the past 2 months. So I think we're getting on the right track. We have a lot of people here. Every person in this school district is committed to getting back to fully accredited status. And I think we're going to be able to do that. It's just, it's going to take time.
Aaron Reif says there's reason to be optimistic about the future of Hickman Mills. He says the district is resilient and has plenty of competent people, but he believes Hickman Mills could benefit from more than just new internal strategies.
I sincerely believe, and it's not just Hickman Mills, it's any struggling school district, give them money. Give them lots and lots of money. And I know that does not jive well with other points of view on this issue. But the problems that Hickman Mills is having is dealing with students who are underperforming, who tend to come from poor backgrounds, which means they need programs. They need specialists. They need more reading specialists. They need math specialists. They need counselors. And they have this to a degree, but they need more. They need lots and lots of really good people who are really good at their job to help these kids out. They need more money for after-school programs. They need all kinds of stuff.
In 2013, Hickman Mills will face a new set of increased standards called MCIP 5. This means higher expectations in things like attendance and standardized test scores, but MCIP 5 could also help Hickman Mills regain full accreditation because it looks at a 3-year rolling average of progress instead of looking at each year individually. Sarah Potter says if the district is able to show improvement very quickly, it might be able to regain full accreditation status early, but the current plan is to reevaluate the district in 2015. For Casey Currents, this is Alex Smith.